Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is this morning's gospel, especially these words. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. So far the text. Now, when we look at this text, there's lots of different ways you can order these petitions that Jesus makes to his Father on behalf of the disciples and, of course, us. I just kind of got three basic petitions here. So the first one is he asked his Father to keep his disciples so that they might be one. The second one is he asks his Father to protect his disciples from Satan. And thirdly, he asks his Heavenly Father to sanctify the disciples in his truth. So you have keeping them so that they may be one, protecting them, and sanctifying them, all for a purpose. And it, as you can see in the text, it's clear the purpose has something to do with what he calls the world. Now, when John, in his gospel, talks about the world, he is never very complimentary. All right, it's a place of wickedness and evil. It's a place that's broken and dangerous. And we need to realize that when he's talking about the world here, he's not talking about the earth or nature. Okay, he's not talking about a sunrise or a sunset or the northern lights or anything like that. I mean, we all look at those things and we say they're beautiful, they are good, just as God himself, after creating all these things, said it is good. It's not what he's referring to when he refers to the world. He's referring to everything and everybody who is either indifferent to his son and salvation or is actively opposed to it. So that's very simple. Now, our relationship to that world gets a little more complicated, especially when you look at this text. It says we are chosen from the world. We are in the world, not of the world. We're supposed not to be taken out of the world, but sent to the world. So to get a clearer understanding of our relationship to the world, we need to understand God's relationship to the world. And that is, again, everything that's actively opposed to him. Earlier in John 3:16, we all know that, for God so loved the world. That's the relationship. When Jesus came down and died on a cross, he didn't do it just for people who liked him and believed in him. He also did it for the people actively opposed to him. He did it for the people who killed him. And I really don't think our purpose in this world is to completely isolate ourselves from the world. If that's what we're called to do, then guess what? We're really not going to be in danger, and we're not going to need any protection. But we are in danger, and we do need protection. And that's why Jesus prays for it. For me, the key to understanding this relationship, how we relate to the world, is found in that third petition. It's found in that word sanctify, because that applies not only to how Jesus relates to the world, but how we do as well. Now, the word sanctify or sanctification is a word that can be very easily misused and misunderstood by Christians. We kind of see sanctification as our part of the salvation equation, all right? So you got justification plus sanctification equals salvation. Now, obviously, justification, that's God's part, right? He sent Jesus into this world, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose from the dead. Because of that, our sins are forgiven, and he calls us his children. Now it's our turn. And that is by our own power to live up to the name that he has given us. And if we do that by our own power, then we're saved. Wrong. That is not what sanctification is. A common view of sanctification definition is we are made holy. I think there's a more fundamental and basic and helpful definition, and that is we are set apart. Just looking at the language and the activity in the temple 2,000 years ago, there were certain things in the temple that were sanctified, that were set apart. You had the altar, sanctified to the Lord. You had the incense burner, sanctified to the Lord. Every sacrifice was sanctified to the Lord. It was set apart, not just so that it could be set apart. It was set apart for a purpose. This last week, I just, for some reason, I was thinking about the jobs that I've had in my life, and And I thought, okay, what's the first job I had? And I said, well, okay, I was a busboy when I was 16 at York Steakhouse in Springfield, Virginia. And I go, okay, no, that wasn't the first job. My first job was I was a paperboy delivering the Minneapolis Star Tribune in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And I was like, nope, that's not the first job. First job was when I was in the fourth grade. First job. Wasn't full-time, okay? It was a job that happened one day a year. I didn't have to fill out a W-4. I didn't get paid anything. But basically, my job was money collecting. And there was a very strict dress code. That means you had to dress differently. I normally dressed as a hobo or a pirate. Now, in the fourth grade, our school district had the bright idea, and they all gave us these little boxes. And so for fourth grade, Halloween, we'd go up and knock on the door, and when someone came to the door, we'd hold up our little orange box, and we'd say, trick or treat for UNICEF. Unwittingly, I worked for the United Nations. Okay? If I had known, I would have put that on my resume, worked for the United Nations, because I did, right? And now, I'd hold up that little orange box, trick or treat for UNICEF, and they put a nickel in there, or a dime, or a quarter. And you know what happened oftentimes? Once they gave you the money, they thought, Halloween's over. No candy. That was a lean year for me, okay? And also, it was a bad year for me, fourth grade, because someone in the specific house that everybody in the neighborhood knew had moved. And we called that the good candy house. All right? See, our neighborhood was really not known for good trick-or-treating. All right? I mean, we had one house, a lady would give us a penny. Another house, somebody gave us an apple. You know, why not asparagus? You know, what is that? Fruit? Another house, we would get these knockoff brands, you know, that from like Zaire Shopper City. So it wouldn't be Snickers, it'd be like Liquors, or you know, it wouldn't be Milky Way, it'd be Creamy Way. But you could tell the difference. It's not the same thing. And on top of that, they wouldn't give out regular candy bars. It would be these. You know, what are these called? What size? What's fun about this? There's nothing fun about that, especially not when you're a kid, right? And one family, I just stopped even going there because they gave out unshelled walnuts. Now, the year before, my third grade year, that was different. They hadn't moved yet, and I looked forward to going to that house. I made sure that was the last house I went to, and I opened up my pillowcase, and she threw in something. It looked heavy, and I looked in there, and it was an abnormally large Snickers bar, okay, brand name and huge. And as soon as we got home, the competition begins between me and my brother. Who's going to be able to keep their candy the longest? I always lost. In 2 days, I'd eat an entire bag or pillowcase filled with candy. I said, not this year. No, no. And I knew what I was saving, and it was that Snickers. I sanctified that Snickers, okay? I set it apart. And, of course, you knew what happened. I forgot about it until we moved. Now, remember, I got this in the third grade. We moved in the eighth grade. Right. But, you know, you're cleaning out stuff, and I'm cleaning out stuff. Well, here it is, giant Snickers. And I held it up to my brother, and I just said, yeah, yeah. I won by like 4.5 years probably. Yeah. And I took the wrapper off. Unfortunately, I didn't look at it because it was not chocolatey brown. It was kind of ashen. Okay. And I just went, yeah. And I took a big hard bite out of it. Chipped my tooth right here. It's my first chipped tooth right in the corner. Now, did I really sanctify that Snickers bar? No. I wasted it. You see, a Snickers bar, if it's sanctified correctly, has to serve a purpose, and that means the Snicker bar is to be eaten. Today's Mother's Day. All the mothers in our lives were sanctified. I guess you could say made holy. There's a better way of saying that. They were set apart for a purpose, and it wasn't just to give birth. I mean, that was pretty good. But after that, they're set aside also to do what? To love. They raise their children in love. They make sure they're fed in love, and they make sure they hear the good news of Jesus Christ in love. They are sanctified. They are set apart in love, and that is exactly what we are called to do as disciples of Jesus Christ. We're set apart to love. In fact, Jesus says that you're sanctified in my truth. And what is that truth? It's the gospel of love, the gospel that Jesus came to save us from our sin. Now, with that love in us, we're certainly called to love one another, but we're also called to love the world. And it's not just people that like us. We're also called to love those in the world who are actively opposed to Jesus Christ and to the love that we bring. They can't see it. We've been sanctified in the truth because the truth has been given to us. And we might be the only way they ever see it and ever know the love of Jesus Christ that we appreciate so much. How many people saw the Northern Lights last couple of days? Okay, was it really bright? Yeah. At our house, Nancy Nathaniel got up at, 1:30 Saturday morning. I know that for a fact because Nancy woke me up and said, should I wake Nathaniel up to look at the guy? Okay. I said, yeah. So they went out there and they couldn't see him. Okay. There were so many street lights and ambient lights in our neighborhood, you couldn't see him. Of course, what Nathaniel did, which is what he does with everything, is he held up his cell phone and looked through the camera. And when they looked through the camera of the cell phone through that lens, then they could clearly see it. It was purple. It was kind of shimmering and moving. They could see it. We are that lens to the world. I pray that the Lord use us so that through our lives, through our actions, through our words, through the love that we share, they might see the love of a Savior whose love for them will never end. In Jesus' name, amen.